This is Wrestling Informant Radio, WrestlingInformant.com. How's it going, everybody? Gary and Chris back with you here Wednesday, February the 4th, 2015. Chris, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm as good as can be.
That's funny. When you said, how you doing? I almost said, how you doing? Because I got NXT on in the background here.
Uh-huh.
Watching it, and it's Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy. And of course, that's their thing. They say, how you doing?
How you so, doing?
It almost caught me. Yeah. How you doing?
Oh, my goodness.
Two guys from Queens.
Well, that's great. That's great. I've never been to Queens, but I'm sure it's a nice place.
Yeah.
Let's start off. We'll tell everybody real quick, as we always do. You know, everybody shops at Amazon, man. I shop at Amazon. Chris shops at Amazon.
All the time.
My mom shops at Amazon.
My wife makes me buy stuff for her on Amazon.
Right. So, you know, everybody shops there, and the easiest way, you know, sometimes people say, you know, man, I really love the show. How can I help you? Well, it's really easy. All you got to do is go to WrestlingInformant.com/Amazon. You do all your Amazon shopping using our link, and guess what? Amazon kicks back a little bit to us as a thank you. It costs you absolutely no extra. Whatever you're buying, it costs exactly the same. It's just something done in the background where Amazon says, yep, Wrestling Informant sent these guys. We're going to break a few coins off for these guys, and we're on our merry way. So that's one of the ways to help out the podcast. If you like what we do, if you appreciate the fact that you can go to our website and not be bombarded with ads or give your computer hepatitis or whatever, you know, we don't put any ads on the website, but we do like to sneak in a little plug here and there. It really goes a long way. It helps pay for the hosting of the website, the hosting of the podcast, and potentially future upgrades within the podcast. We'll tell you another way how to help the show a little bit later. And with that out of the way, Chris, you know, it's one of these weeks where it's another slow week in wrestling.
Man, back-to-back weeks. Imagine that.
Absolutely nothing going on. I mean,
nope,
nothing.
Zero.
Tell you what is going on, though. We want to thank everybody real quick for our interview with Alex Greenfield from Sunday. Of course, I do want to apologize again for the technical difficulties, but we're working on some ways to alleviate that problem so it never happens again. But I want to thank everybody who took the time to listen to that interview. A lot of great insight from a guy who worked there at the WWE, former SmackDown lead writer Alex Greenfield. So shout out to him. And with that out of the way, Chris, let's now get down to business and talk about Fastlane. We are on the Fastlane to WrestleMania. I think it's one of those crappy cliches that Michael Cole spit out at some point. We're on the Fastlane to WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's bad enough it was a road to WrestleMania that started at the Rumble, but now you got a pay-per-view called Fastlane. He's going to try to work in every single crappy cliche that you could think of.
I guess so. And WWE is doing some, I don't know how to put it, other than interesting things here. I mean, look, the week before on Raw, it was the Raw that was in the studios in Stamford.
Yeah, because of the snowstorms and all that, yeah.
Yeah, they had these sit-down interviews that were, I thought, fantastic. I really enjoyed them. I thought they did more good than they did harm. And, you know, hey, everybody, a lot of people were upset about Daniel Bryan not winning the Royal Rumble. A lot of people were upset that Roman Reigns got the Royal Rumble win. And the next night on Raw, they did the sit-down between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And I came on the show and said, man, that kind of got me excited. I thought it was pretty damn cool, right?
Way to hype it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Way to hype it up.
Yep.
I thought it was nice. I said, all right, well, you know, they're going to go full steam ahead.
Yep, Heyman was gold, as always.
Of course. They're going to go full steam ahead. They're going to stick with the plan, Reigns and Lesnar. And then, this week, everything changes.
Oh, gosh, it's like the Rumble never happened.
And that is that's a big problem. And that actually raised me to my first, the first listener submitted question that ties in here. Normally we save these for the end of the show, but we're going to bump these guys right to the front of the line.
I was going to say, I saw on Twitter, as soon as they announced that, I saw, you know, my sentiments were being shared exactly. It's like, what's the point of having the Rumble because of what happened?
There you go. That brings the perfect question. From the Three Count Thursday on Twitter, they get the plug here. As much as we love Daniel Bryan and are lukewarm over Roman Reigns, isn't the idea of taking Roman Reigns out of the WrestleMania main event killing the value of the Royal Rumble? Yes! Absolutely it is. I think, now you can call me old school. You can say, oh, you're just a mark for the old days and, you know, the Coliseum days, Coliseum video days, the
tape trading, yeah.
Tape trade, all that stuff. You're just a mark for the old school Royal Rumble. Well, hell yes, I am, because it was effective.
Why not? Why can't it be? Because when you win the Rumble, you got a main event. You were in the main event of WrestleMania against whoever the champion was at the time.
Exactly. It was set in stone.
Yep.
You knew where they were going. You knew that when...
They had a 3-month buildup, and then it culminated there.
You had, what was it? Yokozuna won in 1993. You knew that he and Bret Hart were going to face each other at Caesar's Palace at WrestleMania 9. That cool outdoor arena they did. When Shawn Michaels won the 1995 Royal Rumble, you knew exactly where he was going. Where was he going, Chris? He's going to Wrestle Mania, okay?
In 1998, Stone Cold Steve Austin, went right to WrestleMania to face Shawn Michaels.
But now in the last couple of years, ever since we got this, you know, this February pay-per-view, well, the February pay-per-view's been around for a while, but...
It was the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view.
And before that, it was No Way Out, and...
Yeah.
And it's one of these things of in the last couple of years now, it's like, oh, well, you know, things may be changing. Like, oh, the champion will go into the chamber. We don't know if he'll make it out with the belt or he'll have a match. And then there'll be a select amount of people in the chamber fighting for the number one contendership. No! Find your Royal Rumble victor and stick with it.
Right, because usually, well, what it used to be, even with that pay-per-view in February, is you'd have your Royal Rumble winner. And he would be waiting for whoever the champion would be at WrestleMania, depending on what happened in that February pay-per-view.
Yes. But this year, it's like we got Reigns giving up his automatic guaranteed title shot because they try to put this reason of doubt that did he really earn it? Was it really his? You know, and all this other stuff. You got Daniel Bryan who made a fine case for, you know, I never lost my belt. And giving up a potential guaranteed match to fight Seth Rollins, which was a tremendous match on Monday. I loved it, man.
That took me back.
Good Lord, I love that match.
Eric Dragon and Tyler Black all over again.
Loved it.
Man, that was awesome. That was awesome.
And so now at Fastlane, we've got Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, the winner. We'll go on to face Brock Lesnar. Now, let me preface it by, my God, my English sucks preface. Today. Let me preface. Thank you, Chris. You said it so elegantly.
Yes.
Let me preface by saying that I think the plans are going to stick to as they are. I believe that Reigns will go on to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar. But this is kind of just an unnecessary turn in many ways, I think. For one, you're going to piss off a lot of fans again.
Who are already pissed off.
They're already mad.
Yeah.
And if you have them, if you have their guy, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, they're dangling that ray of hope.
Dangling the ray of hope.
Nope.
And they put him in this match. And Roman Reigns kills him. Or beats him, whatever, however they do it. Or there's some, you know, goofy authority interference or what have you.
Yeah.
There will be another, you know, there'll probably be another canceled WWE Network hashtag. And, you know, we've already given our thoughts on that last week. I mean, I think it's kind of silly a little bit. I mean, I'm all for people, you know, trying to make a statement, trying to send a message. I'm all for that. But
yeah, freedom of speech and all expressing ourselves, you know. We have that right, but it does get silly and ridiculous.
The network's a great value for real. I mean, it's $10.
Right, especially, because, I mean, one of the main races I watch is for NXT.
There you go.
Great value. And, of course, watch the pay-per-views.
So by canceling,
I don't hate watch the pay-per-views. I actually want to see something good happen.
By canceling the network, you're just saying you hate NXT, really, is what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm kidding, but... what you get now, if you have Bryan go in there and he loses now, you're going to have a lot of pissed off people.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Now, my guess, if I had to be Mr. Crystal Ball, Miss Cleo, or whatever you want to call it right in front of me, and I had to just guess what was going to happen, or the mentality, perhaps, I think it's pretty clear. I think Vince wants Bryan to go in there, much like he wanted Rock to go in there and raise Roman Reigns' hand and say, hey, guys, you like me? Well, hey, this guy ain't so bad. You should like him, too.
Yeah, I want to put him over.
That is a mistake. Because people will see through that very, very quickly. Trust me on this. Now, the other part of it is you want Roman Reigns to go out there and have a good match with somebody who can carry him to a good match in Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's credentials, of course, are through the roof.
Yeah.
So maybe the thought is, well, let's get Reigns in there with somebody like this. They can have a really good match and maybe people will believe in Reigns. And that's, you know, that's part of the problem right now. It's like you looked at Raw, you looked at SmackDown the last week or so. Who is Roman Reigns fighting? Big Show. Who the hell is going to get excited about that?
Yeah, especially because it's the 923rd time that they've had a match on Raw.
Who's getting excited about that, Chris? I mean, I just want to know who's getting excited about that.
Not definitely not me. And maybe, I know not you.
Maybe Billy Joe Bob on a tractor in Iowa somewhere. So I don't know. But
I'm or maybe saying. One of the eight or 10-year-old kids that are there.
Maybe.
That aren't smart enough to, you know, that aren't smart to the business just yet. And they're so naive.
Maybe.
Only thing I can think of.
I don't know.
Well, our demographic is definitely not interested.
No.
Definitely that's, not. That's easy. That's an easy one.
That's who I'm talking to.
I know.
Dummy. Oh, kidding.
I know.
So it's just one of these things where they haven't done Roman Reigns many favors. I mean, you put him in there with Big Show. Who's getting excited about that? No one's getting excited about that. But now you're going to put him in with Daniel Bryan. People are going to get excited because they think Daniel Bryan's going to win. And when he doesn't win, people are going to be real pissed. That's the point I'm trying to make. You feel me?
Oh, I feel you.
All right. Hey, man, you left me out to dry, kid.
Or they put him in on SmackDown with Kane or something stupid like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they did to Bryan after he won WrestleMania. He's on top of the world. The next month, he's fighting Kane, and Kane is, sitting in the back of the damn car in some goofy horror movie. I mean, it's just stupid. Right. They didn't do Bryan any favors either. Monday night, I legitimately, for a good portion of Raw, I went back and watched it later, but for a good portion of it, man, I was asleep. I was waiting for this damn Triple H Austin podcast to start.
So was the rest of the audience.
That was my strategy. I said, you know what? I'm going to go in, you know, for the 8 to maybe 9 o'clock hour. A lot of big things probably going to happen there. And then, you know what? From 9 to just before 11, you know. I can afford to sleep a little bit.
Yeah, it was pretty much, well, except for the Daniel Bryan Seth Rollins match, everything else was pretty much a dud.
As far as live, I caught the tail end of that. Then I went back and watched it again, but
yeah, I watched the Austin podcast the next day. I watched it Tuesday.
Oh man,
oof!
That
was interesting.
You know what? For all the crap people give Triple H online, man, he comes across really good in these interviews. He gets
lot of shrapnel headed his way, a lot. And you know, we've made jokes, you know, I've made jokes about him, but he's definitely got his head on straight.
Yeah, these off the cuff interviews he does, I mean, whether it's the conference calls with the wrestling media or this kind of interview, or you know, like the one he did with Grantland before.
Yeah,
these kind of interviews, he just comes across so likable. And
right, and of course you got Austin's not really throwing any softballs.
God, are you kidding me, dude? Right out of the freaking gate, man. Austin works stiff, kid. He's working stiff. He comes right out of the gate. So about that Royal Rumble, you know.
Right off the bat.
He just went right in there, man.
Yep.
Full steam ahead. Yep, bullets are flying.
Team. Yep.
I mean, he it was almost like he softened him up at first. He went in there. He's like, oh, man, well, I've been doing my research about this NXT, but hold on, I'm gonna get to that in a minute. But hold on, man, let's get in this Royal Rumble deal. This wasn't gonna go right in the Royal Rumble.
Just right to it, and Triple H, man, I give that guy a lot of credit for he didn't flinch, he didn't get shaken up, of course not. But
well, you don't have to. All you gotta say is, well, you know, you got one guy making all the decisions. You just you just put it on Vince's plate automatically, man. You're good to go.
Like, oh, well, in NXT, it's kind of my thing. I don't have to answer anybody, but I don't have somebody to lean on or telling me I don't have a filter.
Yeah,
he's like blaming everybody else on, man. Everybody else on for the main roster stuff.
everything else, everything on this damn interview, man. Well, you know, there's one guy running the show here, one guy calling the shots. You know, Vince McMahon.
People want to blame the creative team. They want to blame the booking, writers, me, stuff, whatever.
Can we stop this blame the writers crap? I mean, can we, after interviewing so many of them in the past, can we just get beyond this low IQ of blaming the writers for everything? When a bunch of writers go on interviews, and not even on just this show, when they go on to multiple shows and they tell you that there is one guy who's calling the damn shots, you know, they're like, we can write the greatest script in the world, but when we turn it in, there's one guy who's going to say yes or no, and most of the times he says no and rewrites the show up until, like, you know, 2 hours before the damn show. I mean, can we get off of this blaming the writers crap?
Because I know they can, even like Alex has said, you know, he count endless times to where he's written something for Ray or JBL or somebody, and Vince has gone and changed it at the last minute. Like, wait, what?
Yes. Go listen to our interview from Sunday. Yeah. It's right there. I cringe every time I see somebody on Twitter. Oh, these damn writers. Oh, God, stop it. Go talk to a writer. Cleanse your soul, sir. Or ma'am. Just go talk to a writer. Go talk to a writer on Twitter. They'll clear up all your things about Vince. They'll let you know how it's really going.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Rumble, the NXT, talking about in length of NXT, CM Punk.
Oh my God. Man, they just covered everything.
Yeah.
Do you really believe though that he has no problem in the world with CM Punk?
I don't believe that.
I don't believe that for a second.
Not.
CM Punk told him, hey, no offense, but I don't want to fight you at WrestleMania. You know, I think I deserve a little bit better than that. I think Triple H is going to have a problem with that. Oh, look, he's a nice guy in interviews, but I'm sure there's still somewhat of an ego there. I think all wrestlers have an ego to a certain extent. God, I think it's just
wrestlers
obvious.
Wrestlers don't even admit it. They'll even admit that they have egos.
Yeah.
They won't hide it.
I mean, let's get real, man.
Yeah, I listen to that. I'm like, yeah. I mean, a lot of the other stuff, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I can believe that. But CM Punk, he's like, yeah, I didn't have a problem with him.
Yeah, okay. I'm not buying it. I'm selling that. I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
China came up in this interview.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Wow, I forgot about that. And asking if she should be in the Hall of Fame. That was interesting.
Chris, did you take the China Google Challenge, by the way?
No.
Okay.
No.
You go into Google. Now go right now. Go right. What are you doing? You got nothing better to do. We're just doing a little radio show here.
Yeah, doing a little radio show. Got NXT in the background. Google, got the Twitter going.
Google China. Go ahead. I dare you.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I'm serious.
No, I'm serious too. That is not happening.
No, nothing bad comes up. That's my point I'm trying to make. Don't be afraid.
Oh, I'm afraid. I'm terrified.
He was trying to insinuate that if his children looked up China on the internet, you Google her name, and there's nothing. I didn't see one bad thing on the first page. It was all like links.
Okay, I did it. I did. I Googled China.
All right. What's the first thing that comes up?
Wikipedia.
Okay. What's the second thing?
Somebody's Twitter.
Third.
China responds to Triple H's comments about WWE Hall of Fame.
All right. That's a given. Fourth.
IMDb.
Fifth.
And did Triple H imply China's not in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Go click on the image button.
Okay, It pops up on the right. Some images.
Well, click the button so you get full screen of images. Just do me that favor.
Yeah, no, there's more images. There's
her maybe picking up one of the wrestlers and body slamming him or some crap, or
like posing for photos.
Posing
stuff like
for
that.
Photos.
Some stuff from the Attitude Era.
You don't see any kind of pornographic or. You know, gifts of her, you know, doing adult things. You know, there's none of that stuff.
There's one of her at Nickelodeon show. And
Nickelodeon. What's the harm in that? Nickelodeon's for all kids.
Nickelodeon.
Oh, dear God.
Right. So, yeah, nothing bad.
Yeah. I just thought that, you know, this whole thing of, well, you know, if my kids were to Google her and just. Why don't you just say something like, you know, look, you know, we monitor all talent as possibilities in the Hall of Fame. If the right case came up or something, I mean, it's just something else that you could say that where you don't have to get into that. Yeah. Well, if my kids Google it or whatever, you know, you don't have to say all that.
Trying to play the PR, trying to play the public relations card.
Yeah, talk to Steph. She'll show you how to spin it real good. Trust me on that one, okay? She can spin anything.
Oh, yeah.
I love to play the bad girl on TV. Or a bad guy. I love being the bad guy on TV. She loves to tell people that she plays a bad guy on TV.
And that it's just TV. I'm not like that in real life.
Yes, my God. Kayfabe be damned.
Oh, yeah. That was the other thing, too. It's like, man, even Austin said it at first, like, everybody's so accessible and with social media and just kayfabe's dead and everybody's smart enough to the business.
Yeah.
Triple H agreed with it. He's like, yeah, it makes it tough to write anything.
Yeah. What I didn't agree with, there's a few things that I didn't really agree with. Like he says that people see you getting behind someone and then they turn on them. No. That's not what happens. Okay, Triple H. I know you get paid a lot of money, bro, but that's not what happens, okay? Maybe he knows better than I do, and I'm just talking out of my rear end, but I think if you have a compelling enough character, this does not happen.
No.
If WWE said tomorrow, we're going to give Dolph Ziggler the biggest push, the biggest, most honest push he's ever gotten, do you think that fans would be upset because WWE is putting all the energy behind Dolph Ziggler? Would they be upset?
Oh, no, they'd go nuts for it.
Exactly. And do you know why? I'll tell you why.
We'd see push Ziggler hashtags and Dolph Ziggler this, Dolph Ziggler that.
And let me tell you why, because he puts on incredible matches.
He does.
I'm going to forget the promo he did where he said, I did all this to entertain you. I'm going to forget all that. But he puts on incredible matches. He has great athleticism. He's a character people can get behind. He's not telling goofy jokes all the time or just coming across as, you know, corny or uncomfortable. Yeah. He goes out there, he puts on great matches, and people get behind him for that. If they did the same thing with the guys that they want to push all the time, instead of them going around like lunkheads and saying suffer and succotash, this would not happen. So the fact that Triple H comes out and says, oh, you see people see you getting behind somebody and they turn on them, that's not true. If you give them a reason to like them, they're going to get behind them. Okay.
Right.
Like Stone Cold said on the podcast, people want to go along for the ride.
Okay? Yeah, it's an emotional investment.
Exactly.
Just like what I told Greenfield last week is like with the New Japan, it's that emotional investment. Even if it's one match, you want to be invested in it. You want to feel something. Even, you know, suspend reality for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes, whatever.
And then he made some other comment. I don't have the exact verbatim quote, but it was something to the effect of, you know, you're never going to pick the right guy that's going to be for everybody. Like, you know, kids like one thing, adults like another. That is BS. And I will cite the example, Chris. You look back to 2008, 2009, Jeff freaking Hardy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
This guy was Teflon. Like, you would not believe adults loved him. Kids loved him. He was
everybody in between.
Everybody in between.
Everybody.
It just goes to show you with the right character who says the right things, does the right stuff in the ring, people will get behind it. Don't give me this crap of, well, you know, people don't like John Cena because he's for kids. They can be for everybody. Reigns can be for kids. He can be for adults as well. There's a fine line that he can walk. They just have this particular mold that every top baby face has to fit in, or they have to be just, you know, it's got to be corny. They can't really be like super cool. They got to tell, you know, 40-year-old dad jokes, you know, like John Cena.
Middle school jokes.
There is no one uncooler than John Cena, with the exception of maybe Michael Cole. I mean, come on. Be honest here.
Yeah. And even when Michael Cole with the anonymous Raw GM, it's even less cool.
Oh my God.
Takes it down about four notches.
There is a way, and I really disagree with Triple H on this. When he said that, I was like writhing in my seat. I was like, that is such crap. You look back at Jeff Hardy, and when he won the title, everyone lost their minds.
Yep.
They lost their minds. People were wanting, as Austin would say, to go along for a ride. Remember that Armageddon Triple H versus Jeff Hardy? And everyone thought for sure, oh, Triple H, he's going to bury Jeff Hardy, man. Jeff Hardy's not going to get the title shot. And guess what? He beat Triple H. Everyone lost their minds, and then he went on to fight Randy Orton in the Royal Rumble. Now, he didn't win. At this particular point in time, they decided it wasn't quite his time, which I thought that was the wrong move. They had other things in mind. If I remember correctly, 2009, that was the year of WrestleMania 25, so we had, what, Triple H and Randy Orton for the title. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Big shock.
Jeff Hardy beats Triple H, and Triple H still manages to get in the WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, figure that one out.
Lord. The hell are you guys doing? Anyway, I'm getting mad all of a sudden like it's happening right now. But I just use that example. There are people that cross over all genres or you know, demographics. You know,
a classic example, the not Stone Cold, but Hulk Hogan.
Well, there were some adult males that didn't like him. I mean, let's be completely
clear. But there were a majority of them, you know, kids, teenagers, adults. Hulkamania was there.
Oh, of course, yeah.
It was there on all age groups. Yeah, of course you're going to get people that may not like him or whatever for obvious reasons, but he was still that guy.
Yeah.
That transcend, you know, he crossed over.
Yeah, it was, there's been guys that have come across, you know, look at Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Adults liked him for his technicality. Kids liked him because they thought he was a good role model.
Nope.
You know, it was, it fit. It fit for everybody. Shawn yep. Michaels was cool amongst a lot of people. Let's see, who else? I mean, my God, there's plenty of people that were cool to everybody.
Eddie Guerrero.
There you go.
Yep.
So for Triple H to say that.
Kurt Angle, I mean, I could go on and on.
Yeah, for Triple H to say that there's no way that everybody can like one guy, it's BS. Go back and watch an interview and hear that quote. It'll make you just cringe.
Now, let me ask you this. What did you think? Because he had some stuff to say about the indies, too.
And what? Refresh my memory. What was the quote about the indies?
Oh, I guess somebody had sent in, it was a Twitter question. I guess, do you prefer having somebody in your developmental territory and working with them as opposed to having them go through all the indies, the independent promotions, and learn that way, then come to WWE?
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. And he was making the NFL analogy of, you can play for the Patriots. You got to play with their playbook, but you learn from the Jets playbook or whatever the hell he said. Now, look, I understand.
I see it. Wrestling is wrestling no matter where you are.
This is true.
And he said, you know, you got to get all that out of their system because they did it their way or did it that way. Kind of real snotty.
Yeah, they really want you to work their style there. Now, I can understand to a certain degree of you're coming here. This is kind of, you know, we have a certain style here. But at the same time, I also think that there's room to incorporate different styles and somehow make that work within the guidelines of what WWE is looking for.
Yeah, I agree.
Because at the end of the day, you're just going to have all the same guys doing the same stuff and it's going to look really stupid. You know, they're all going to work the same style.
Because I like seeing guys that have been through the end, that have been around the world and have had the experience already.
Yeah, Finn Balor, world traveler.
Yep, Kevin Owens, looking at him right now on the screen.
Daniel Bryan, world traveler.
Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns.
Hideo Itami, he's got the Japanese style.
Yep. Yeah, New Japan, a huge influence.
So why can't they make a way to say, okay, you know, this is what we want, but, you know, obviously we saw something in you. There's a reason why we really liked you and wanted to pick you up. How can we incorporate what you're doing to what we're trying to do and make it this really cool thing? There's got to be a way to do that.
There's got to be a way to just blend it in.
You can't just say everybody does the same thing. You know, everybody's going to do it the same way.
Yeah, right, because I didn't agree with his comments there.
That's like a record company signing five bands and Nickelback is their main eventer. And they say, well, you know what? Everybody's going to sound like Nickelback. Good Lord, we all be in trouble.
We'd be screwed.
Yeah.
And then Nickelback would be screwed because nobody want to buy their stuff. They think, oh my gosh, we got to hear this all over again. So not only it's a lose-lose.
Yeah.
Nickelback loses and even the bands lose and the fans lose out because it's all the same stuff.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's boring. It is boring. Nobody wants the same crap.
On a slightly similar but kind of different scale, how many times have I watched Hell's Kitchen with Gordon Ramsay? And he goes into these kitchens. And he's trying to rescue these restaurants. And
Kitchen Nightmares. Yeah.
Kitchen Nightmares. Kitchen, yeah. So there's always this diamond in the rough cook who came in there and said, "Oh, well, I came in here and the owners wanted me to cook their way. They wanted me to make this the spaghetti their way, or make this pizza their way, or their burger their way."
Didn't work.
And then Gordon says, "I want you to make it your way." And then he makes it their way, and he's like, "Oh my God, this is so great!" And everybody loses their minds.
Right, because he was able to infuse Dibble work within the restaurant guidelines, but still come up with creative dishes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So yeah, I had a little bit of a problem with that, because I think it's important for guys to work the indies, get that experience.
I agree completely.
I'm all about supporting the indies. I have been for a long time.
You know, don't completely go in there like an a-hole and say, "I know what's best and I'm going to do it my way and I'm not even going to hear your way." Don't do it that way, because then that's going to get you nowhere.
Yeah, because I think some guys that aren't there have done that.
Seth Rollins did that. It was well documented in the Shield documentary. Look it up on the network. I think it's still on there. Seth Rollins talked about the back and forth that he went through with the developmental, saying, you know, "I knew my way," and he was stuck in his quote unquote bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's a way you can compromise, what I'm really trying to say.
And even Triple H was talking about how he was working with Prince Devitt. I still call him Prince Devitt, Finn Balor, Fergal Devitt.
Yeah.
About all the things like where the cameras are and entrances and an appearance and how, you know, your background when you're coming out. He was just like, because he wanted to know, he's like, "You're all right?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm just a bit overwhelmed," because he never had anybody take that much time to go through start to finish.
Yeah.
Because normally when you go out for the indie matches, you just go out there, wrestle, and you're done. You get paid. You move on to the next promotion.
Exactly.
Go to the next booking. But with this, like, you got camera angles, you got TV, you got lighting, you got the ring, you got the ramp, background, music, presence. It's a whole thing.
It's a whole production, man.
Right, because right now I'm looking at you got Hideo Itami out there getting ready to go one-on-one with Finn Balor. IWC's going to go nuts for this one.
Oh, this is the tournament.
Yeah, it's the semifinals. And I tell you what, this Finn Balor entrance is so cool. I haven't seen anything like this in a long time from anybody.
Oh, he's doing the special entrance.
Yeah, well, no, he doesn't have his face paint on, but still, it's still a cool entrance regardless.
Right.
Oh, you see that? He got the smoke coming out of the ground. Yeah, that's pretty cool. His presence.
NXT recap, everybody. There you go.
Yeah, it's happening live.
How about the... I thought this was interesting. Austin had asked Triple H about how he would change Raw. This, I thought, was pretty interesting, actually, because...
Yeah, I mean, you got 3 hours to fill.
The first thing he said was, "I'd love to go back to 2 hours."
He said, "Is it ever going back to 2 hours? Are you stuck into this 3 hour?"
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, man, like, that's very telling. It tells me that they don't want to stick with this 2 hours or this 3 hour stuff.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but, you know, Vince wants 3 hours, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's part of it is, just that, you know, USA and the money they get, the offer they get.
Yeah, they got that whole time slot.
But is it worth it? Is it worth killing your product to make a little bit of extra money when your product's going to be, you know, flattened like a pancake? That's what I wonder. Is the takeaway good enough, you know, to be willing to do that? That's what I wonder.
Well, you remember back in the day when Raw was 2 hours, and then, and it's not really a fair comparison, but Nitro
was
3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was 3 hours.
I'll tell you what, I watch SmackDown now. I paid more attention to it because they're putting more emphasis on it. And it is so nice for it to start at 8 o'clock. First of all, so it starts at 8, not 9. It's over by 10, which is normally when I try to go to bed anyway. And it's like, you put it on, you're like, whoa, it's already over. Oh my God. It flies through. 2 hours just flies by.
You don't get long 30-minute promos at the beginning. It's almost like you get maybe like a 10-minute promo, and then there's a match.
It's great. Then they also talked about the promos.
Yeah.
You know, about having looser promos like in NXT.
Yep.
Oh, man. I mean, this is, oh, God, Triple H, he's a freaking saint right now to me. he's talking the language of a lot of internet fans, you know, loosen the promos.
Yep.
You know, put Raw back in 2 hours, all this good stuff.
A little bit more creativity into the wrestling repertoire. Be a little bit more, you know, having these guys in NXT being a little bit more creative because of the audience. And then he actually talked about, you know, that's why we're trying to get these guys. We're going to take these guys, take the show on the road.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's what they're going to do. NXT is going on the road.
They are. They're going to be at the Arnold something or other. What do they call it? The Arnold, not the Arnold Classic. The Arnold does like some show or some, the hell is it called?
Yeah, I thought it was somewhere in Ohio.
It is. Arnold Schwarzenegger's putting it on.
Yeah, it was like Columbus or something.
Yeah, it's called the Arnold something. Forgive me.
Yeah, it is.
It's not.
But yeah, I mean, he's trying to help these help all the new talent coming in to, and that's what he said. He's like, it's mostly the same. That you got your looser promos with more creativity, but like the entrance ramps almost similar, even though it's still a smaller scale audience and it's a different almost really like it was a different demographic than what you see on Raw and SmackDown.
And to a bigger point, I mean, if they can loosen up on these promos, man, I mean, I listen to Roman Reigns in interviews, and we've said this 100 times, but I'll just say it because we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
You put this guy on a regular interview, he sounds cool as you know, could possibly be. Laid back, real cool.
Yep.
I kind of picture him, you know, I think he really needs to change the look. You know, he kept the Shield music. He kept the Shield gear. He still comes out from the freaking concourse, the arena. He needs a makeover. He needs to be cool. I don't know that you dress him up like The Rock necessarily because they're very similar. I was almost going to say put him in a damn button-up shirt or something.
No.
Not a suit, but some kind of like cool, you know, pull his hair back a little bit when he's like maybe once or twice when he's in a suit. You know, make him look real nice, real cool.
Or even like a button-down dress shirt, no tie.
Yeah.
Pull the hair back. Maybe jeans. Like dress slacks or even jeans.
The problem is, though, is that if you're not wearing Shield gear, a lot of times they want these wrestlers wearing their T-shirts, and then they're stuck wearing their T-shirts because they want to sell those things.
Right, they want to show the merch.
Yeah. I remember before they started doing a lot of that. I mean, they've always done it to a certain degree. But there was a time where, like, especially like Evolution, those guys were not always coming out in their damn shirts. They were coming out in ties and suits.
It was like the Four Horsemen all over again, man, dressed to the nine.
Yeah, so I picture Roman Reigns, you know, coming out maybe like you're saying, like a button down, kind of like a, you know, like a business looking shirt, maybe some jeans, hair's pulled back,
no tie,
and he's just out there. He's just out there being him. He's talking like he's talking on the Sam Roberts podcast. Like, I'm just here to get some money.
Well, I talked about this before when they were at the 2K15 roster reveal, and he was there. He was in he was looking real sharp. I think he had a fleece on, so it wasn't too, you know, it wasn't his T-shirt or anything like that, but it wasn't, you know, full on suit. And he was just laying back, chilling, talking to Stone Cold, just real relaxed, cool guy in it the whole time. It was nice. It was refreshing.
That's what's going to get him over, man. Just being him.
Yep.
Be cool. Be him. All right. Well, before we move on to, I know you got some Ring of Honor stuff. Any other thing from this interview that really stuck out to you? I think we covered the real big stuff.
The very end.
What happened?
When you hear their music playing and he's like in Triple A, like, are you trying to wrap this up already? He's like, who's talking in your ear? He's like, Kevin Dunn.
Old
and
he's Kevin
like,
wait,
don't. And then Triple H is like, what? I don't have any clout. He's like, no, we're still going. We'll go another 10 minutes.
There you go.
Like, wow. Barry and Kevin Dunn.
There you go. It's nice.
That's not the first time anybody. Not the first time we've heard somebody Barry and Kevin Dunn.
That's Alex's buddy.
Yep. The best friend.
Tell me about this. Talk about this Ring of Honor card, man. What's going on
all
there?
Right, so, as you may or may not know, Ring of Honor's got their 13th anniversary show, March 1st, from Vegas. Last time I talked about the high-stakes Four Corners survival match for the world title. Jay Briscoe defending against Michael Elgin, Tommaso Ciampa, and Hansen, Warbeard Hansen. But now we got a few other matches. We got the Ring of Honor TV title on the line. Jay Lethal will defend against Alberto El Patron. Wow. And that was stunned because on Ring of Honor TV, Alberto El Patron made his debut and talked about how he wanted a shot at Jay Briscoe for the world title, but then Jay Lethal Cook came out and said, no, I'm the better wrestler. And it just kind of really kind of irked him a little bit. So wow. I set up that title match. But then we got the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles as Red Dragon are defending against the Young Bucks.
Wow.
Yeah, that one's going to tear the house down. And if that one doesn't, this one will. ACH versus AJ Styles.
AJ Styles is the man.
ACH is right up there. I don't say not up there with him, but he's making a climb for being the guy to watch now.
Yeah.
I've witnessed it with my own eyes, ACH in the ring, and it is awesome.
Nice. That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
I'm sure they'll be adding some more matches, because that's only 1, 2, 3, 4. That's only 4 matches so far.
So they got more still coming down the pike.
Oh, yeah. They definitely got more. And this is live on pay-per-view, so you'll be able to get it through cable and satellite and all that good stuff.
Good deal.
Yep.
All right. So next week, NXT TakeOver. What's the card on that?
Let's see. We got the NXT Championship on the line as we get Sami Zayn defending against Kevin Owens.
All right.
And we got Bull Dempsey versus Baron Corbin again. I believe that's going to happen. They're going to do that one more time. And we got the NXT Tag Team titles are on the line as new champions Blake and Murphy defend against the Lucha Dragons.
I hate their names. I hate their look.
Who, the Lucha Dragons?
No. Blake and Murphy.
Oh, Blake and Murphy, the Ugh. Champs? Yeah, they went from Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy. Now they're just Blake and Murphy.
Yuck. Sorry.
And then the NXT Women's Championship is online in a 4-way. Charlotte defends against Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Becky Lynch.
Every man's dream. A fatal 4-way.
Yeah, every man's dream.
Kidding. All right.
And I believe since that's next week, we'll have the finals of the number one contenders tournament.
Okay.
Let me see. As we get, it'll be Adrian Neville will be defending against challenger to be determined.
Aha.
Either Finn Balor or Hideo Itami. And since NXT's happening right now, I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, please don't.
I will not. So it'll either be Hideo Itami or Finn Balor versus Adrian Neville. And the winner of that match will be the number one contender after Zayn and Owens have their title match.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can't lose either way.
You're not gonna lose anyway.
And if I had to guess one, and I don't think a guess is taken away from anything, but I'm going to say I'm putting my money behind Finn Balor. But that's just me.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's get in these questions here. We got some questions submitted here in the questionnaire box ready to be answered here in the last couple minutes of the show. I want to get to this one now. I want to give this guy an apology, man. I did not see this one until this week. He sent this in last week. This is Dwayne Andrews from the United Kingdom. Dwayne, thank you so much for sending your questionnaires. We have a couple of UK people. I checked the stats. And there's people over there on the other side of the country, man, that are checking the show out. And I appreciate them listening and supporting the show. It means the world to us. Seriously.
That's very cool that we can become international.
Chris, somewhere, some guy is driving his car on the other side of the road hearing your voice. How about that one?
That is so cool.
Poor guy.
Yeah. All right. don't drive off the road in anger because of my voice.
Just I know.
Stay calm.
It may anger you. Terrible voice. All right.
It was horrible.
He says, hi, guys. My question for this week's podcast is, whatever happened to the traditional steel cage matches in which the only means of winning were by escaping the cage? When did WWE start introducing pinfalls and submissions into the match? And do you think they will ever bring back the match's original concept? Keep up the great podcast, and I'll make sure to listen every week. Kind regards. That's a different way of ending an email. It's must be a Europe thing. Dwayne Andrews, UK. Well, again, Dwayne, thank you so much, man, for sending in your question to the podcast. And you guys can all send questions in the podcast. If you don't want to do it on Twitter, you can always send them to info@wrestlinginformant.com. and I'll get to them as soon as possible. And by possible, I mean putting me right here on the show and reading. So,
yep, and you'll get full credit. Well, if you want us to say your name, we'll say your name.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back to when they started doing the pinfalls and the submissions. I want to say it was like the early 90s. Because yeah, wasn't the Brett Owen, when I think back to steel cage matches, believe it or not, my first memories aren't always Hogan and King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2. I think back to when I was really watching, like, just crazily as a young child, Brett and Owen, SummerSlam 94. If I remember correctly, there was pinfalls and submissions in that match. If I remember correctly.
There might have been.
But it was somewhere in the early to mid 90s. I believe that's when they started doing it. As far as if they will ever bring it back, I think they've brought it back once or twice where they have made it to where the only way you can win is by escaping the cage. But it seems like sometimes they pick and choose how they're going to do it.
Yeah, I think, Austin McMahon, Valentine's Day Massacre, was at 99?
Yeah, February 14th. It was on Valentine's Day.
Yep, I think that one was escape only.
Yes, that's true. So they have dabbled in and out of it.
Yeah, it's hit and miss, but I think for the most part nowadays, unless it's Hell in a Cell, which you're going to get pinfalls in that anyway, that's not even really escaping the cage, but...
Yeah, I just think back...
Steel cage, they don't even do steel cage matches on pay-per-views anymore.
Well, you got Hell in a Cell and Elimination Chamber. Why the hell would you bring back a regular cage, right?
Hey. That'd be boring.
Keeping it old school here. WWF Josh. I feel like that's not your real name. Chris, do you think it says on your license WWF _ Josh? Do you think that's this guy's real name?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Just messing with you, Josh.
See some weird license plates out there, but.
I know. Oh, the driver's license, not the plate, dummy. Not the plate. What are you talking about?
Oh.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Ow.
He wants to know, when is your favorite Saturday night's main event memory? For me, I'll go first. I remember back to 1992, and I'm sure there's better ones, but I always think back to one of the first ones I ever saw, and then I would go back and watch the other ones. But the 1992 one where Hogan and Sid Justice were teaming up against Ric Flair and The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah,
Sid Justice. Hulk Hogan goes to make the hot tag, and Sid jumps off the apron, says nope,
and leaves, and then you got Hogan saying why?
Yeah,
why?
Leading to their WrestleMania 8 match. There you go.
Yep, that was the that everybody thought it was going to be Hogan and Flair,
and it should have been.
Right? Yeah, it should have been Hogan and Flair,
but it didn't do well at house shows. It wasn't selling well on the road. So they decided to go in another direction. But how about your favorite memory, Chris? Saturday Night's Main Event. What do you got, kid?
Well, I'd have to say that's about the only... Because I didn't watch Saturday Night's Main Event when I was a kid. But I'd have to say that was one that I can remember.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a fan of when they brought it back.
You didn't like the first one? The first one they did, it was in Detroit. It was John Cena... and Triple H versus Randy Orton, Rey Mysterio, and Kurt Angle. It was the WrestleMania main events against each other. I thought that was interesting at the time. So weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, at the time. I mean, look who you got in the ring.
Yeah, and seeing John Cena and Triple H trying to team up, man, that was interesting, to say the least.
And didn't they do, like, DX and the Spirit Squad at one of the shows?
Yeah, I think it ran through to, like, 2008, and then they scrapped it again.
Yeah, and this is because that's about all I can remember is that a couple from the late 80s, early 90s, maybe.
Yeah. They pre-taped a lot of
that
these.
One, that show wasn't on my radar. Yeah.
They never did them live. If they said, you know what, we're going to bring the TV truck to a house show on a Saturday, and for the WWE Network people, we're going to do a special Saturday Night's Main Event, people would watch that, okay?
Yeah, if it was on the network, yeah.
If they brought the trucks to one of these shows on a Saturday, did it live, and that's what I kind of wish, and maybe they record these things like the older house shows. This kind of goes into something else I just wanted to kind of say to get it in there, but because it kind of goes along with this, And that is like all the old house shows you watch of like MSG and all these places. It's like, oh, these are house shows. I would love to see some more from the mid to late 90s and the 2000s. I'm sure they tape all of them or most of them. I want to see some of those on the network as well.
Oh, I would too.
I'd watch them in a heartbeat.
Right, because I think on the house shows, you probably see some more stuff. Obviously, you're not going to see it because that's where they try things out and try to get in front of a different audience.
Yeah.
See what sticks.
Let's go to Jimmy Baselis here, our good pal. He says, just a funny thought. Uh-huh. How cool would it be to see The Undertaker back with the American Badass gimmick? I feel like, Chris, once he retires, like actually retires, if he ever does come back for any kind of on TV kind of thing, he'll probably be close to it, but not fully in the bikes and all that stuff.
No,
but
it'd be like a hybrid type of character where it is The Undertaker, but you know, the American Badass character, kind of like a blend.
Yeah, I know that talking to some of the writers before, they've said that try to pitch that to Vince and see how far it gets you. Apparently, it'll get you looked at like you have three heads. Apparently.
Right.
I don't personally want to see it because I remember when he did it and how sick of it I got of it, and I was wishing he'd go back, and then he went back, and I'm like, okay, I hope he never goes back to this again. That was me, though. I just got sick of it. It wore out its welcome with me personally. There are other people that you ask that will say, oh man, I love that. I wish they'd do it one day. I mean, I don't fall in that realm. How about you, man?
Oh, I liked it, but I don't want him to bring it back because the Undertaker persona is cool enough as it is.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, it was great for its time.
Yep.
When he was on SmackDown and things like that, and the Undisputed Champion.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely had its place, but I'm not clamoring for them to bring it back. It was cool, but no, because it was different.
Yeah.
Kind of, but it was weird because it kind of humanized the character. And that was the thing with the dead man character. It's like, you didn't believe that he was a human or what he was. Kids were scared of him. I know I was almost afraid of him when I was 8 years old, 9 years old when he first debuted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to see that American Badass character again. It's done.
Fair enough. Another question here. Since the WWE is determined of having Reigns as a face, stay tuned to that one.
While it lasts.
They could turn Bryan heel to make people cheer for Roman. Your thoughts? I think they could have Daniel Bryan piss on the president and not turn him heel.
Oh, there's no way. He's one of those guys where you can, yeah, like you said, you could have him chop somebody's head off and the fans will still cheer for him.
Well, I don't know if you want to say chop the head off, because then people are just going to think Chris Benoit, but not that he chopped anybody's head off, but...
Oh, no.
I don't want to say anything at killing. I just want to say other things.
Hey, I didn't bring up Chris Benoit, you did.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, he could do, I don't say not something really bad, but yeah.
He could walk into a fan's lawn and break his window with a rock, and they would still love him.
They would want to sell that rock on eBay, because Daniel Bryan threw it in their window.
They would be chanting yes, yes, yes as they signed over an authorization form to pay $1,000 for a new window, okay?
Yeah.
They would be marking out, all right?
Yeah.
You're not going to turn people against
Bryan.
He's
just one of those guys that, no way.
Now, you get Sami Zayn on the main roster, and I think that a lot of people are going to see him as like the next Bryan. If you have Daniel Bryan do something really bad to him, maybe. Maybe.
Or if you have Sami Zayn do something bad to Bryan and in turn Sami Zayn, that'd be the only way.
Yeah.
Even then, you still got a face Daniel Bryan, and that's how it's going to be.
There you go. Let's go to our pal.
Even when he was doing the no, no, no thing and people were chanting yes, they still got behind him.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. Let's go to our pal, Paul Burke. Paul Burke, a proud Patreon or patron of ours, WrestlingInformer.com, Chris, WrestlingInformer.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. You donate as little as a dollar to our show, and you could get your name mentioned on this very show. You could get your name mentioned on the website. You could have something of yours advertised, like a business or something, for a certain price. But what it does is it's another way to support the show in addition to our Amazon link, and that is that you can donate directly to the show on a monthly basis, and it helps us buy new equipment, pay for hosting, pay for podcast hosting, all kinds of things. So WrestlingInformer.com/Patreon. Check it out if you like what we do. Paul's got a couple questions here. We'll do it in order here. Question number one says, hello, gents. Hello, Paul. Would you guys like to see the King of the Ring tournament return, and do you think it's ever likely to? I loved the King of the Ring pay-per-views. I heard I heard Vince is not a fan of those, sadly. He's apparently not a fan of a lot of cool things, but...
Yeah, tournaments, nah, not going to happen.
I loved the King of the Ring tournaments. I loved... there were so many stories you could tell through that show, and yeah, there was quite a bit of matches, you know, a tournament to go through. But I just thought it was really cool. You know, you could tell a story like if a guy got beat down in the end of round one, it's like, would he make it to round two's match? You know, because he just won the match, but then he got beat down by the heel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will he make it to the, or no, better example is the semifinals. He's fighting a heel and then he wins and then the heel beats the crap out of him. Will he make it to the finals? There's all this drama you can tell. There's a lot of cool things you can do in a tournament. I would love to see it return. I don't think Vince is a fan, and I don't think they're going to do it, but I would love to see it back as a show. It would be a lot better than some of these other bland shows like Breaking Point or Battleground or any of these other shows that they've done in the past few years. Just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I love the King of the Ring tournament and the fact that it had its own pay-per-view, because you could pepper in individual matches, title matches, whatever, but then the main focus was still this tournament.
Yeah.
And the winner would get their title shot at SummerSlam. I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Absolutely. How do you think WWE can make all the titles mean something again? Oh, man. You asked that question baiting us into a rant, did you?
Yeah.
Jesus. He just wanted to hear a scream for 5 minutes.
I think the last 20 weeks that we've been doing this show, I think that's answered your question right there.
Oh, my God. How about you have the champion stop losing on television? How about that one?
Watch New Japan Pro Wrestling. Watch Wrestle Kingdom. You want to see titles mean something? There you go.
Oh, my God. I'll give you the short of it. Have the champion stop losing on television. Have them stop defending it every damn week or coming close to that. And you make it important. You make it, look at all these shows that Lesnar's been off of because he has a limited schedule. You mean to tell me that they couldn't elevate the title, another title, to take its place for a little while? I mean, look at John Cena in his promo with Rusev. He practically insulted the U.S. title. You know, it made it seem like it was beneath him, like that was something that he did early in his career, and it didn't really matter. And, you know, if John Cena were to beat Rusev, and I do believe he will beat him, maybe not at this show, but probably WrestleMania, if John Cena beat him and won the United States title, he would actually make it mean something again, I think.
Oh, he would. I think so.
So, I would almost say get a star like a John Cena or somebody that's near his level and put the title on them and have them emphasize some importance of it and then have them pass it off to somebody down the line in a really competitive match. And then once that title goes to that person, protect them. Kind of like to protect Rusev to a certain degree, and make that title mean something. Make it important. That's how you do it, I think.
That word you say, competition, make it seem like they're really competing for something.
Yeah.
Compete for the prize. It is the United States title. For the longest time, the United States title was almost as highly regarded as the World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Because look who's had it. I mean, you go back, I'm going back, you know, like NWA, you know, WCW days.
Oh, yeah.
There's been some names that have held that United States title, and it's been very prestigious. And the Intercontinental title, the same thing.
There's a way to do it.
Yeah, they're just not doing it, and you're not seeing it.
No, they're not. All right.
They're not putting it up on a pedestal, and it's almost like an accessory.
Yeah.
It's just there, and it's watered down, it's diluted. It's going to be very hard. You got to have the right person and have the right moments to make that title mean something, and they're just not doing it.
Fair enough. A couple more here. He says, finally, would you guys ever do a live Q&A or call-in show with your listeners? I know I'd like to get involved from the UK. Well, if I could break down the fourth wall for a moment, Chris, we don't do this in our podcast environment, but...
No, normally I say this for the live stuff at the beginning or the end.
We are actually live right now. There are people that can listen to us right now in a live environment by going to wrestlinginformant.com/247. And what it does is it goes to a tune-in page where we have our live radio station streaming at all times.
Yep. And also, I would say, and also wrestlinginformant.com/chat.
Yeah.
You can chat with us there. And a lot of people, we haven't really advertised it, but that's another way. Since we are live, you can hop in the chat from any computer. You can sign in with Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. And you can interact with us as the show's going on. Or if we decide to jump and do a live show, who knows?
The reason why we don't plug it all the time is because we're still figuring this thing out. Believe it or not, we're 26 episodes into, you know, this show.
Yeah.
And we're still figuring out how we want to do everything. What's the right way to present the show?
Right. We're taking, it's baby steps here. We're taking our time, trying to make sure everything's done right, because we don't want to rush into anything and then it fail for whatever reason. No, we're taking our time, trying to do it right. Just adding little features here and there, little pieces to make sure that everybody's happy and everything works.
Our data tells us that most of our people have always been downloads, mm-hmm. forever downloads,
yeah.
and not live listenership. But you know what? If there is an audience there, if people demand it, then we will do it. I mean, granted, we do broadcast live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. when we do this show. We don't break the format of the podcast to tell everybody that, because we want download people to feel like, you know, we're talking directly to them. That's the way we always want to make it feel, because that's the most people that listen. It makes the most sense to do that. So,
right. We don't change. We're not changing the format or anything like that. It's essentially, we want to keep the same show for everybody.
Right. So, you know, again, if there's more demand, we'll certainly look into that. I know with the phone system thing, we're definitely looking into some other options here. I want to get one of those like really professional telephone hybrid systems.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, guys. They cost like at least $1,000 for like a decent one. Okay. I mean, you can get one for a little bit cheaper, but they're not quite as robust.
Yeah, you can get like a low end one for like, I think the lowest is like $450.
Correct. But that's like one line. So to do a live call-in show, to do it right, you need a couple lines. So what I would need is I would need a Telos hybrid system that can take, you know, maybe like, let's say, four or five lines.
Yep.
And that's going to be anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000. Now, we can get to that goal with your help.
Yep.
Places like wrestlinginformant.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Find folks like Jeremy Rhodes, like, you know, Paul Burke, these great people that donate to our show. This is what these things are set up for. They're set up to, first and foremost, to pay the hosting of the website and to pay the hosting of the podcasting. And then after that, we upgrade equipment and things like that to make the show sound even better. So for you to come to us and say, hey, would you ever consider doing a live call in? Yes, we would love to do that. We need two things. We need the demand and we need the proper hardware. And believe me when I tell you, Paul, we're looking at it. We're trying to make it happen. We want to increase this. I'll tell you what, down the line, I want to do a video element down the line. We'll see.
Yeah.
No promises, but we'll see. We get the right budget, we can do it. Yep. We can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a list of things. We have a list of goals that Gary and I both are working for. And believe me, this is on the list.
Just look at, and I'll end it with this, because I know we have a few more questions and we need to wrap up the show. And not everybody's into the technical stuff, so I apologize if you're not. But let me just make my final point here. Look at what Chris and I have done with our own money, buying our own equipment, and what we were able to do with that. Now, imagine what we could do with the support of fine people like yourself that love our show, that, you know, you say to yourself, you know, maybe I do want to donate to this show. You know, maybe I want to help these guys out. I think they're great guys or whatever. I really like their show. I appreciate the fact that they don't give my computer hepatitis, you know, all these things. Okay. You know, so if you guys, you know, want to help us out and get us closer to some of these hardware goals, the place to do it, wrestlinginformant.com/Patreon. Look at what we've done on our own budget and mm-hmm. the mountains we move with that. Now imagine the mountains we can move with your support. And I'll leave it at that. So, and I thank you guys, you know, like the Jeremys, the Pauls, the really great people that have, you know, stepped forward and donated some money to this show. We really, really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. And we'll close it out with the final two questions. Our buddy Jason Riot Maker wants to know, is it even more apparent now that Paul L, I've never heard him referred to as Paul L. I'm just giving you a hard time, Riot Maker. Is it even more apparent now that Paul L, Triple H, damn it. All right. Is it more apparent now that Triple H is being groomed to take over from Vince on the big stage? I think we're getting close.
Oh, yeah.
Is it 5 years away? Maybe. Is it 10 years away? Maybe. But I think we're getting close, man.
It will happen eventually.
He's absolutely being groomed at all times. I mean, look at that WrestleMania 24 special they did. You could see him back there with Vince with the controls on. He's in the mix there.
Well, even you saw on the Thy Kingdom Come DVD, his documentary, where he's always been kind of fascinated with the creative process and the production and all that for years, even when he was still the main event talent.
Exactly.
He was always interested in the backstage stuff, and Vince is entrusting him with more and more things. And it just so happens that he's married to Stephanie and just happened to work out that way. But yeah, Triple H is definitely being groomed to take over the company.
Absolutely. So yeah, keep your eye out. You're going to start to see some things, you know, happening here and there. Finally, our pal, AKA Red Sox on Twitter, wants to know, did you hear the ref calling spots in the Wyatt Ziggler match like I did? It ruined a great match for me. I thought I heard a little something going on there, Chris. Didn't you hear that? A little bit of the...
Sometimes I do pay attention to that. I didn't hear it, but I have heard.
You got old man ears.
Yeah. Well, I gotta keep the TV down. I can't have it blasting full.
I know.
Full volume. Jeez. I have heard the ref calling. I've heard the ref calling. You know, see the signals, calling some spots, given times.
Yeah.
I've seen it and I've heard it, but I didn't catch it during that match.
They gotta watch out for that stuff. You know, I don't know if it's just because they have the mics turned up on the ring for the effect, you know, for the audience or what it is, but
yeah,
they gotta watch out for that stuff.
The one thing the refs are a little bit better about it than some of the talent, because I've heard the talent calling spots.
John Cena.
I've heard AJ calling spots a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, John Cena, Big Show.
They gotta watch out for that stuff, man. Yeah. Because then you're going to ruin a match like our buddy Red Sox, where you're going to ruin the show for him, guys. Don't do that no more.
Yes, there you go. It's like the kayfabe's dead.
Exactly. And
you take away the believability. You want to suspend your disbelief.
Oh, man. Oh, wait. We got some final two questions coming in. I'm going to give this guy the nod here because he got it in at the last second, Chris.
Oh, lucky fella.
Two questions from Rocky Top Wrestling.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to say Rocky Romero. I'd be like, damn.
I'm going to favorite these now. Go ahead and refresh. You can see them.
All right, let me see here. I guess these questions.
He wants to know, with Rusev, he has two questions. Number one, with Rusev, U.S. champion, he is bringing prominence to the belt. How do you see this affecting the Intercontinental Champion and champ and champion? Okay.
Okay.
So how do you see that affecting the champion? I've always said, Chris, maybe just do one champion.
Yeah, because
they're kind of the same damn belt.
Right, considering they're all basically one show now. I mean, I can understand when he had Raw and SmackDown completely separate brands. He had separate titles. It could be more important. You could elevate those titles, but yeah, it is essentially the same mid-card title.
Yeah, I don't know how it affects them per se. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think it does, and that's the thing. They're too similar.
Yeah.
So one really doesn't affect the other in a positive or negative way. They're just both kind of there.
Yeah. There's a third question here. Let me I'll favorite that, and you can refresh it. I'll read the other one that you've seen and then refresh your screen and you'll get the other one. Gorgeous George, Adrian Street, Adrian Adonis, and Goldust used the gay gimmick for heat. Today's society, is heat still automatic? Is he talking about the gay gimmick heat, maybe?
I guess, because they all use that the gay gimmicks for heat, but...
That was a different time, though, man.
I mean, Gorgeous... Gosh, I'm looking at... Well, Goldust...
Goldust is mid-90s.
Right, and he's toned it way down.
Yeah, but when he first came out at that time...
Yeah, in that...
It worked.
It did. And he was a perfect fit for the Attitude Era.
I don't know if that works now because you had, what's his name from the, the black guy who's gay that just came out 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Darren Young.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He came out. There's no heat there. It was, you got guys like John Cena on TMZ congratulating him for coming out and stuff. There's no heat.
No, I think it's more, everybody's more tolerant now. Yeah. And of course, they're a publicly traded company. So you're not going to see you're not going to see the risque gimmicks or getting heat. Like, I'm sure there are still ways to just automatically get heat. Like Rusev. Look at Rusev.
Yeah.
Just because he's Russian and talking bad about the United States, there's heat, automatic heat right there just because he's Russian.
Exactly.
That's it. It's things like that. There's the modern day current events that can trigger those things.
I don't know that a gay person would do that though.
Huh?
I don't know that a gay person or a gay character is going to generate that kind of heat because it's so
not anymore.
It's a lot more accepted now than it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, those guys were doing things that were taboo at the time, and yeah, Goldust was a perfect example where he was coming out and doing all the crazy stuff he does. You're not going to see it anymore.
Finally, from Rocky Top Wrestling here, do you see Velvel Holler? He's talking about Velvet Sky. You see Velvet Sky, he's doing the at mentions on Twitter. You see Velvet Sky joining WWE with her or any established talent? Do they start at NXT? Well, do I see her joining WWE? I'd like to see her in WWE. I mean, I always liked her character in TNA.
Yeah.
But this firing thing from the Feast or Fire thing, I don't know if that's a shoot or a work or what. But, you never know with TNA.
Yeah, I think
she could be booking the show next week for all we know at TNA.
most likely her contract was up, because that's usually what you see on stuff like that, is if their contracts are up.
Yeah.
And they'll work in some kind of angle.
Boy, he must be listening live, Ace. He just threw in another question.
Wow, yeah. Hey, live right, people.
We're gonna answer your last question, sir, and then we're shutting it down.
Save it for next week.
Yes, please. Who would you put in a second Legends house? That's a good question, actually.
Ooh.
What do you put in there you haven't already put in there? Was Sergeant Slaughter, he wasn't in the first one, was he?
No, he wasn't.
Maybe you put him in there. I think you have to have at least one returning one. So maybe a Mean Gene.
What about Piper?
Piper, maybe. But I'm trying to limit on the repeats. Or you're saying one or the other, either Piper or Mean Gene.
Yeah, either or.
Oh, okay, either or. Okay, yeah.
Gene was awesome.
He was.
Punk.
who else would you put in there?
Ric Flair,
that'd be interesting. How about the Hitman?
Yeah, Bret Hart. Gosh, I'm trying to think who else. See, you had the Fink on there.
Yeah.
Gerald Briscoe.
He wasn't in the last one?
No. Okay. Pat Patterson was.
Maybe you get Gerald Briscoe in there.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of who realistically they would put in there. That's what I'm trying to think.
Oh, gosh. No, Bret Hart, Flair.
Yeah.
Maybe bring back Mean Gene.
Maybe. Maybe Jake.
Maybe.
Jake Roberts.
Yeah. Jake would be a good one.
Scott.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah, I said him already. Don't copy off my names.
Scott Hall.
That's who I just said.
I know, I'm messing with you now.
Okay, gotcha.
Chill out.
Anything else?
I'm trying to think of people, but people I'm thinking of are already dead.
That's bad. I think we should end it on that note, actually. I'm going to close down Twitter so no more questions come through.
Oh, wait, no more.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for showing the support again. WrestlingInformer.com/Amazon, WrestlingInformer.com/Patreon, Patreon, two ways that you can donate and support this show. You're going to help us pay for the cost to keep the website up, the podcast up, and some potential new equipment to make the show sound even better. So go enjoy NXT. Go enjoy SmackDown tomorrow, TNA Friday, if that's your thing.
Lucha Underground, if that's your thing.
Other than that, Chris, you got anything else? I think we're good, man.
No, I think we covered everything this week. We're good.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for your support. We'll talk to you again next week. See you, everybody.